Thank you very much, Anthony, and good evening, everybody. It's great to be here in Perth again. On behalf of the Reserve Bank Board, I'd like to welcome you very much to this dinner. As I was walking up here, the rain came down. And when I came in, I had to towel off because I got a little wet, but it was fantastic because in Sydney it's almost forgotten how to rain. So it's great to be in Perth where it's nice and green. And this dinner really is an opportunity for the Reserve Bank Board and staff to hear directly from you about how things are going here in Western Australia. So thank you very much for giving up an evening and joining us. As you have probably heard, the Reserve Bank Board left the cash rate unchanged at 1.5% at its meeting this morning in our offices on St George's Terrace. I doubt this decision came as a surprise to anybody. The cash rate has been at 1.5% for more than 2 years now, and the board expects it to remain there for a while yet. Lest you think that keeping interest rates constant for an extended period of time means that life must be very quiet and easy at the Reserve Bank. We're always closely monitoring domestic and international developments, and we have other important responsibilities that don't attract the same spotlight as our monthly interest rate decisions. I hope you all know that the Reserve Bank is responsible for issuing of Australia's banknotes. We're currently undertaking a major upgrade of these notes to protect against the counterfeiters. All up, there are 1.6 billion individual banknotes on issue in Australia. That's an average of around 65 for each of the 25 million people lucky enough to live in our country. So that's quite a lot of banknotes, and I know I don't have my share of that. So I don't know whether many people in this room have their 65, but there's 65 notes out there for every single one of us. Despite the growth of the tap-and-go payments and other forms of electronic payments, the value of banknotes on issue relative to the size of the economy is the highest that it's been in 50 years. And this highlights the continued importance of banknotes as a means of payment, as a store of value. So the upgrade of these banknotes, these 1.6 billion individual pieces of polymer, is a major logistical exercise for us. The RBA is also the banker for the Australian government. We operate the government's core accounts, and we're the transactional banker for many government departments. So if you get a Medicare refund or a Medicare payment or a tax refund, it comes from the government's accounts at the Reserve Bank. We also operate the core of Australia's payment system. The way that money moves from one bank account to another is through the accounts that financial institutions hold at the Reserve Bank. In addition, we operate a key part of the infrastructure supporting Australia's new payment system known as the NPP. This new system allows you to move money between bank accounts in real time on a 24/7 basis using an easily remembered pay ID such as a mobile phone number. You can still use BSBs and account numbers, but if you haven't already done so, I encourage you to contact your bank to register a pay ID, which will make it very easy to use this new system. The RBA also regulates key parts of Australia's financial market infrastructure, including the central counterparties of the ASX. In addition, we have broad responsibilities to promote competition, efficiency, and stability of Australia's payment system. And a result of decisions made by the bank's payment system board, there have been significant changes to the ATM and credit and debit card systems over recent years. You might like some of those changes, but I know not everyone's keen on them. The RBA also operates in financial markets every day to ensure that the system has a right amount of liquidity. We also have broad responsibility for financial stability, including act as a lender of last resort in a financial crisis to provide liquidity to solvent institutions. And finally, we manage Australia's foreign exchange reserves. And we do all this with around 1,300 people, including a small team here in Perth. These are all important functions that we carry out in the public interest. They're all critical to the functioning of our successful modern economy and our modern financial system. And I can assure you that we take these responsibilities very seriously. So this means that even when interest rates are being held steady, we have a lot on our plate at the Reserve Bank. But it's interest rates that do keep us in the news mainly. At its meeting this morning, the board's assessment was that the Australian economy is moving in the right direction. Over the past year, GDP growth was 3.1% and inflation was around 2%. And the unemployment rate is currently 5.3%, which is the lowest it's been in 6 years. And in the broad sweep of our economic history, these are a pretty positive set of numbers. We'll get another reading on the pulse of the economy tomorrow with the release of the June quarter national accounts. We're expecting that this will confirm that over the first half of this year, the economy expanded at faster than a trend pace, making progress into reducing spare capacity. Our central scenario is that economic growth this year and next will be a bit above 3%, which should see the unemployment rate come down further, which would be good news. So things are moving in the right direction. One of the factors that is helping us is that the global economy is expanding quite quickly. Many of the advanced economies are growing strongly, and unemployment rates in a number of them are at multi-decade lows. The Chinese economy is also growing solidly, although the pace of growth there has slowed a bit, partly as a result of efforts to put the financial sector on a more sustainable footing. The United States is the most advanced in the process of monetary policy normalisation. This has led to a broad-based appreciation of the US dollar this year. And as a consequence, the Australian dollar has depreciated somewhat. If sustained, this could be expected to improve the outlook for both inflation and growth in Australia. Notwithstanding this positive global picture, there are a number of international uncertainties that we're monitoring quite closely. One is the possibility of an escalation of the current trade disputes. If this were to happen, it would materially affect trade flows and investment plans right around the world. As a country that has benefited greatly from an open, rules-based international system, Australia has a very strong interest in this not happening. Another uncertainty that we're watching closely is the possibility of a material lift in inflation in the United States. The US is experiencing a large fiscal stimulus at a time when the economy is at full employment and it's growing quickly. To say the very least, this is an unusual combination. And past experience suggests that it could lead to inflation increasing significantly. Financial markets are, however, heavily discounting this possibility, which means that if it did take place, it would come as quite a surprise to people, with repercussions for markets and the real economy. We're also monitoring carefully the financial and economic problems in a number of emerging market economies with structural or institutional weaknesses, including Turkey, Brazil, and Argentina. If these problems were to escalate, they could put strains on parts of the global financial system. So these are some of the international issues that we're keeping a close eye on at the moment. Domestically, the board is closely monitoring housing markets across the country and trends in housing finance. Housing credit growth has slowed, which from a medium-term perspective is a positive development. Our assessment that this slowing largely reflects reduced demand for credit by investors, although there's also been some tightening on the supply side as well. With housing prices falling in a number of cities, largely due to a shift in the underlying fundamentals, investors no longer find it as attractive to invest in residential property as they once did. They see less prospect of capital gains. And this is really just a natural part of the cycle. While credit standards have been tightened, mortgage credit does remain readily available for most borrowers. I would note that some banks have increased their mortgage rates recently in response to higher interest rates in wholesale money markets. A much Less remarked upon fact, though, is that the average mortgage rate paid in Australia has actually fallen since August last year, as most lenders have increased their discounts. So I encourage anyone with a mortgage to shop around. There are some very good deals out there at the moment. Each of us can play a role in promoting strong competition in our financial sector by shopping around and taking advantage of those good deals. By shopping around, we can make the banks compete more strongly. So we all have a role to play here. Another set of issues that the board continues to pay close attention to is the outlook for wages growth and inflation. Wages growth has been quite low recently. For some time, my view has been that an increase in aggregate wages growth would be a welcome development, especially if it's backed by stronger productivity growth. Many business people that I speak with recognise that a pickup in overall wage growth would be a positive development from a macro perspective, although not from the perspective of their individual business. So there is a tension here. Our expectation is that wage growth will pick up from here, but the pickup is likely to be quite gradual. Firms are currently reporting a record number of job vacancies, and increasingly, they're telling us that it's hard to find workers with the right skills. Of course, one way of dealing with this increasing tightness in the labour market is to lift wages. We expect that this will in time happen, and as it happens, inflation too will lift towards the midpoint of the medium-term inflation target. But this too is likely to be a fairly gradual process. Against this background, this morning the board again decided to keep the cash rate steady at 1.5%. We are seeking to be a source of stability and confidence as further progress is made towards full employment and having inflation return to around the midpoint of the target range. As that progress is made, you could expect the next move in interest rates to be up, not down. This would be a sign that overall economic conditions are returning to normal and would take place against a backdrop of stronger growth in household incomes. But any move in interest rates still seems some way off, given the gradual nature of the progress expected on reducing unemployment and having inflation lift towards the midpoint of the target range. At this morning's meeting, as well as a thorough review of the international and Australian economies, we had a detailed discussion of the Western Australian economy. We pay close attention to what's going on in here. Western Australia accounts for nearly 15% of Australian GDP and 35% of our exports, so it's important. Reflecting this, this is my third trip and public speech in Perth in just the last year. This morning, we heard that while the Western Australian economy is still feeling the effects of a decline in the level of mining investment, there are some positive signs here. The level of mining investment has further to fall as some large LNG projects are completed. But elsewhere in the resources sector, things are looking brighter. Sustaining capital expenditure, particularly in the iron ore sector, is picking up, and that's having positive spillover effects in other parts of the economy here in Western Australia. Higher prices for a number of minerals have also led to increased exploration activity, including for gold and lithium, and there's an expansion in some existing mines taking place as well. For the first time in a number of years, we are hearing reports through our liaison program here in Perth that it is difficult for firms to find workers with the right skills, including project engineers and some related occupations. Business conditions, as measured in surveys, have also risen and are significantly above average in Western Australia. At our meeting, we also discussed the population dynamics here in Western Australia. At the peak of the resources boom, annual population growth reached almost 3.5% here, which is very fast. People moved here from overseas and from the rest of the country to meet the needs of your rapidly growing economy. But in contrast, over the past year, population growth has slowed sharply, to around 0.75%, which is almost the slowest of any state in the country at the moment. There is now a considerable net flow of people from Western Australia to the eastern states, which is unusual. This change in population dynamics has had a significant effect on the housing market here in Perth and in Western Australia more broadly. The earlier strong growth in population contributed to a sharp rise in housing prices and rents, and then a bit later to a surge in housing construction. With the resources boom now past, some of the earlier increases in prices and rents have been reversed, and residential construction activity has been quite low. Western Australia has seen these type of cycles before, and I expect you'll see them again. Our liaison, though, suggests that the stabilisation of conditions in the housing market is in prospect. If so, this should help support consumer confidence and household spending here and reinforce the more recent positive signs from the resources sector. Finally, as I mentioned earlier, we're currently upgrading Australia's banknotes. I'm pleased to be able to announce this evening that the new $50 note will be released by us on 18 October. And actually have a few of these notes here. They're straight off the printing press. So you can have a look at them a bit later, but I'll have to make sure that I take them back. But more seriously, we're very proud to have a prominent Western Australian on this note. That's Edith Cowan, as well as the Aboriginal writer and inventor, David Uniapin. The redesigned $50 note celebrates the fact that Edith Cowan was the very first female member of an Australian Parliament. The microtext on the note includes an extract from her first speech to the Western Australian Parliament. It's to the left of her if you get to look at the notes. When the note's released, those of you with very good eyesight might be able to read this microtext without a microscope. Some of my staff can, but I certainly can't. So most of you will struggle to read it. So I'd like to read a quote from the microtext that's on the banknote. In 1921, Edith Cowan said, "I stand here today in the unique position of being the first woman in an Australian Parliament. If men and women can work for the same state, side by side, and represent all the different sections of the community, I cannot doubt that we should do very much better work in the community than was ever done before." Nearly 100 years on, I hope that you would agree that this sentiment is just as relevant today as it was back in 1921. And we're very proud to have this text on the new $50 note and to recognise Edith Cowan's achievement. And it's great to have Hendy Cowan here this evening, a direct descendant of Edith Cowan and also the Chancellor of Edith Cowan University. So it's great to have you here. This note will also have a seating plan of Western Australia's Legislative Assembly, and it will recognise Edith Cowan's lifelong advocacy for women. Western Australia's official bird emblem, the iconic black swan, will also appear on the note a number of times. And if you tilt the note, you'll be able to see the colour of the swan change and its wings move. So I'm sure that people here in Western Australia will feel a great affinity for the new note, and I'm also sure they'll enjoy spending it. Once again, thank you for joining us this evening, and please enjoy the rest of the evening. Thank you.